Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bradfo Show. That's my open? That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hip Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
Boom sauce. All right, another Bradfo Show. Hey, Brian Johnson, who do you want to see on a podcast? So you're a veteran of this podcast. Who do you want to hear?
Hector Velasquez.
He wasn't available. I asked him. Who else?
Let me think. What about Evaldi?
Ooh, I like that idea. I never thought of that. Why would you want to talk? What should I ask him?
I got no prep in this. This was just fly on the fly.
I know you're a pro. I know.
I would ask him. He's only a couple teams short of the whole AL East, isn't he?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, he's got
the Dodgers are in the AL East. The Marlins are in the AL East.
No,
that's with two of the teams he's been on.
Yeah, I'm saying though, he's got the Rays, he's got the Yankees, he's got the Red Sox.
Yes.
So he's too short. Yes. I mean, like you could ask him.
Or I could ask him about his cutter, right?
Yeah, that would be a good one, too. Or that 100-mile-an-hour fastball in the eighth yesterday.
It's incredible to hit 100 miles an hour, period. And then when you're going in the eighth inning and you're whatever he's at, 85, 90 pitches, it's almost unheard of.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Not a lot of starters show 100 miles an hour in the eighth inning.
No, I don't even... I mean, his, like, changeup, if he even ever throws one, or split finger, is my fastball.
What's the hardest you've ever thrown? Hardest pitch you've ever thrown, besides the mythical 97-mile-an-hour fastball in spring training?
Yeah, you got me all hyped up for nothing there. I think I was, like, 95 in college once, maybe in Lowell, 95.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
All right, well, cool. So, you miss being on this podcast?
Yeah, I still have yet to receive my shirt. Put that on record.
All right. Well,
that's 2 years. 2 years running now. 2 years.
Duly noted. Well, in fairness, there's a new shipment of shirts coming. They say
you only had like 3X. When you offered me, you offered me a 3X.
Right. That's why.
My nighttime shirt.
Yeah. Mookie actually has one. He uses the nighttime shirt. I promise I will get your nighttime get your T-shirt. And we will hopefully, if you'll have me, we will have do another Bradfo Show soon because it's. I don't know if you know this. It's nut crunching time.
Yeah, we can. We should do one at a destination though. Like, I mean, Rick and Joe get theirs at Twin Peaks. I mean, what if we can't do that? Like, could have done it at Foxwoods.
No. I get a place.
Yeah,
I get a place.
Yeah. Let me know.
All right.
Maybe is there a tropical smoothie here? You said there's one here, right?
Yeah, in Rhode Island. I'm not going.
Oh yeah, we're not going there. Yeah. Do you like Dunkin'? Or are you Starbucks?
So I'll find a place.
Oh, okay.
I'll find a place. You know where we're going to do it? Huh. I'll tell you where we're going to do it. Huh. The Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn.
Okay. I don't know where that is, but I'm down.
Yeah, we'll send a limo for you.
No. Yeah, okay. Or I can Uber.
All right. So I'm going to go run out and get Nathan Evaldi because that's I only wanted to do a podcast that you wanted us to do because you're a FOBS. Friend of Bradfo Show.
The Bradfo Show. I don't say it as well as Devers, but...
That's pretty good, though. You like when I tweet that out.
that was really good.
All right. Okay. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Here we go. Nathan Evaldi. All right. We're honored to have Nathan Evaldi on with us on the Bradfo Show. And the prerequisite to come on the show, obviously, is to pitch your first two games without giving up a run. So it was very close. I thought you were going to give up a run, and then you could never have come on this podcast. So congratulations on your start.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So first of all, Nathan or Nate?
Nathan.
All right. Oh, I like.
So Nathan, but people do call you Nate, because I've heard people call you Nate, and I don't want to be that guy who calls you something. So why Nathan and not Nate?
That's all good. I mean, Nathan's just my name, and I mean, a lot of my family, they call me Nate.
So. Yeah, but you know, like the random like reporter, like we had never met till yesterday, and so so I want to be a representative. I want to be respectful. That's why I called you Nathan. But do the guys? So does your teammates call you Nate or Nathan? Like my formal name is Robert Farnsworth Bradford. Back in Essex, my hometown, they call me Robbie. Back in Alvin, Texas, correct? Alvin?
Yes, sir.
So they call you what?
I mean, both. Nathan, Nate.
Okay.
Yes, I mean.
But your buddies, they call you Nate or Nathan?
As in both.
But, all right, that's fair. Yeah. We'll get to the bottom. You're probably thinking, what am I getting myself into? Anyway, so how you've been to, this is a fourth team now, fourth organization?
The fifth organization now.
Yeah, all right.
Dodgers, Marlins, Yankees, Rays, and Boston.
Okay. How has you've been here a grand total of like 2 weeks, if that. How is this different? How does this feel different? And it's not a fair question because, like I said, you've only been here a couple of weeks, but how does it feel different?
Right now, I mean, I would just say where we're at as a team. I mean, we're in that win-now mentality. The atmosphere over here has been great. And, you know, reminds me a lot of when I was over there with the Yankees.
So when you were there with the Yankees, what was, like, you obviously were in the middle of the Yankee series, Red Sox-Yankee series. Was there a moment where you had games, like Saturday, you had a great game, you pitched very well, big game against the Yankees. Was that the biggest stage that you had pitched on, or did you have a moment like that with the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I might have had a couple starts over there with the Yankees like that. I remember one against the Astros where I'd gone eight innings over there, but I don't know. I feel like this one right now, the way I've been throwing lately, and then just this atmosphere coming over here for, like you said, my first two starts, I don't think too much is compared to this.
I mean, that's kind of, had you ever experienced anything like that, like Saturday? Like, you pitched well before, but I can tell you, like, Fenway Park is different right now than it was in April. It's different right now because people, number one, like this team. Number two, they can smell it. You know, they can smell it, and then they have you come in and do what you did. Was that a different feeling from anything that you've gone through?
Yeah, I would say that start yesterday was probably, I can't really describe it. It's definitely been, one of my most exciting starts that I've had. And, again, like I said, the way I've been throwing the ball lately and, you know, joining this team and the way everything's been, developing. And like you said, everybody can smell it, and it's in the, it's in the air. It's the talk around town. So it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
So you keep saying throwing the ball lately. Why are you throwing the ball? So you always threw hard. You always had good stuff. Would you say that this is the best that you've pitched in your life? I know that's a pretty grand statement, but is it fair?
No, yeah, I would say definitely coming off this, my second Tommy John surgery, I would definitely say this is the best I've been throwing in my career, and I think a lot of it has to do with the cutter and how successful it's been for me.
Yeah, so I was in the J.D. Martinez scrum yesterday, and he compared your cutter to Corey Kluber's. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about, because this is one of the evolutions of, I so badly want to call you Nate Evaldi. So sorry, so tell me about the evolution of this pitch that seems to be making such a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've had it before in the past, but I just never really, pursued that pitch. And then coming back from the Tommy John surgery this year, working with Kyle Snyder, we really focused on that pitch and, trying to develop it, and it's just been really successful for me. I've had a lot of confidence with it, and I try and throw it hard like my fastball, and then the action it has on it kind of is what it is.
Did you throw it more in the first couple starts here?
Yeah, I mean, I've been throwing it a lot. Every game I feel like I've been throwing it more and more, and it's continued to get a little bit better every outing.
You know what I was wondering was, I know Cashy, I know Kyle played here, I'm just covering him, and they're at the forefront of a lot of stuff. What's the difference? It's only been a couple of weeks, but what's the difference here? Like, what's the difference? And is it the shifts different? Is the game calling different? Is the preparation different?
I feel like just a little bit of everything. I mean, right now as a team, we're in that win-now mentality. And, you know, we got a lot of things to prove over here with the Red Sox. And the game calling, again, you know, you got a different catcher back there. Sandy's been awesome back there behind the plate for me.
So how did he call the game different than Wilson?
I would just say using the cutter more. I mean, right now, at the time when I was over there with the Rays, I was only using it into lefties and away to righties, and now I'm kind of backdooring it to lefties. I'm, you know, front-dooring it a few times to righties, and I've, you know, the trust in that pitch has really developed, so I've been able to, you know, use it in different counts and in other situations just because my confidence level's there.
So let's go back to, as you mentioned, you have two Tommy John surgeries. The Yankees release you, the Rays pick you up, and the Rays basically said, we're going to get you right so you can get right. Talk a little bit about that experience, about it's because it's not your average sort of progression with a team that picks you up. Were they pretty honest about this is what we see and how what we want to do with you? And did it play out like you thought it would?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really thank the Rays enough for that opportunity that they gave me. You know, like you said, the Yankees had released me, and there was a possibility that we would just try and rehab on our own and not sign with the team if we couldn't come up with a good deal. And the Rays, you know, went out on a limb, and, you know, they offered me a great deal and a great contract over there with them. And they basically told me that I wasn't going to come back that first year. And, you know, I wanted to do everything I could to try and prove them wrong that I could be back. And, you know, I was eligible to come back. I had thrown in, you know, some rehab games, and everything felt great. And we just weren't, you know, as a team, we weren't where we wanted to be, so they didn't want to risk anything. So, you know, like they said, they, you know, shut it down early, and I had a good off season and treated it like I would any other off season. I came in this year ready to go for them, and, you know, not once did they ever push me or make me feel uncomfortable over there. I mean, it was always a nice, relaxed environment, and, you know, the training staff, I can't say enough about those guys over there who, you know, really took me in, and, you know, they got me right and got me back on my feet, and, you know, got me to where I am now and where I'm able to get out there and throw the ball every 5 days.
It's a great story. I mean, were you ever worried? I mean, this is second Tommy John. Your first Tommy John was in high school, correct?
Yeah, it was in high school. It was in 07. So, I mean, there was a good separation between the two dates. So, I mean, that's kind of another reason I wasn't too worried. You know, just because of the longevity of the, you know, the surgery. So, coming back this time around, I always feel like I put my trust and faith into the trainers that are there to help me. You know, Dr. Ahmad, who did my surgery, you know, I trust, you know, I put all my trust in their hands that they're going to do a great job, and everybody did. And, you know, then my side of it is to put in the work and do what they tell me, not to do too much, but also have that good communication of, you know, if I feel something, to let them know, and otherwise just, you know, keep grinding.
When did you know you were back? When did you know that, like, this was going to be what we're seeing right now was going to be possible?
I mean, even when I started playing catch, I knew, like, I was feeling good and had a good chance of, you know, gaining my velocity back. I knew that everything felt free and easy, and just putting in that time and all that hard work at the beginning of the season and going through the setback that I had and coming back from that, you know, I was really surprised with my accuracy and being able to command the ball. And, you know, I just continued to build off of that. And I think going through that surgery, I feel like a lot of players get into a routine where they feel like they have to do the same thing and have the same preparation, and, you know, they get a little superstitious and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're rehabbing, it's really tough to be like that, because things change on a fly. You know, a game gets rained out, or, you know, you get pushed back a day or two. So I try and just treat it like that every day. And, you know, if I get to pitch, I get to pitch. And if I have to do other things, then I'll just roll with it. You know, I can't predict the future, so.
Was there a game that said, there it is?
I mean, I would have to say my first game back, when I pitched against Oakland, when I had the 6 no-hit innings, and then I came out with like 70-something pitches, you know, just because I wasn't built up all the way yet.
Yeah.
I had a really rough outing on my last rehab start in AAA. I think I gave up 8 runs in 4 innings. I think I'd thrown, you know, right around my mark of 70 pitches, but by the time I came back, I'd been pushed back, I think, 2 or 3 days. So it had, you know, I had like 8 or 9 days rest, and, you know, I didn't have that many ups. I had gone 6 innings, and that was the most I had thrown in, you know, years, you know, a year and a half, 2 years almost. So
that's insane.
Yeah.
Well, it's so when we talk about that moment, you're walking off the mound here at Fenway Park, does any of that creep in? Like, does any of that creep in about getting reflective on it. And you've had probably other moments where you could be reflective. But as you said before, this is a defining moment. This is a signature moment. Does yesterday, when you were going through that, did you think about that? Or are you just like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to keep riding this?
I mean, just a little bit of both. I mean, I definitely wanted to keep riding it. But, I mean, again, you know, I feel like everybody wants to be in this situation, you know, on the mound in the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry, and especially with the way we've been playing, you know. We're in first place in all of baseball, and everybody's feeding off one of another. We're having fun out there on the mound. And, you know, with this atmosphere and these fans getting involved as much as they are, especially with the Yankees in town, it's been a lot of fun pitching in front of them.
So you look at you're pitching really well right now. You technically, I guess, had gone through a contract here when you were released, right? I mean, you've gone through that process. So, and I've asked other guys this, is that you don't want, like, the future to creep in, but having this be the first time you actually get a chance to do this, you know, potentially healthy, potentially rolling contract year, do you think about it?
No, I mean, again, like I said, I don't like to try and think about the future. You know, baseball's hard enough, trying to focus one start at a time, and I try and take it day by day, and, you know, when the season's over, I'll have time to reflect on that, and, you know, as long as I can put in the work now, and everything should be good by that time when it comes.
Yeah, because I actually told your manager this yesterday. Rich Hill made a lot of money in 4 starts.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about how you start, you know, the season. It's about how you finish, and if you can finish on a strong note, then, you know, I feel like that it means a lot.
Everyone did the exercise of, all right, what pitchers are available at the trade deadline, and you see the now, are you an MLB trade rumors guy, or do you not pay attention to what's going on?
No, I mean, when all that trade rumors and stuff were going on, I tried to, you know, keep it in the back of my mind and really not pay any attention to it. You know, I don't have any social media or anything.
Oh, you know, nothing?
Nothing? Zero.
That's nutty. Did you ever have it at one point, like MySpace or something? Or
I had MySpace, but I was never big on posting anything, and I had Facebook at one point too, but I got rid of that.
You did? Why? People?
Yeah, I mean, I made my
first, your catfish.
I made my debut. No, I made my debut with the Dodgers, and I had maybe 130, 200 friend requests and messages, and I was just like, a lot of the people I never talked to, and some people I didn't even know. So I was like, you know, if you have my cell phone number, it'd be, you know, it's a lot easier that way. So,
no urge to Twitter? No, never?
Twitter, Instagram, nothing like
that. Not even like a burner account where you follow people without
knowing? Zero.
Really?
That one, nothing to do with it.
A couple quick questions. I lost my train of thought. But anyway, no Twitter. And so, which serves you well in a place like, I mean, you can see the value of not having that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just something about it. I want no part of it for whatever reason, but I don't know.
You don't read anything?
What do you mean?
You don't read, I mean, do you read articles?
I read the MLB app. That's about it.
There you go. All right.
I mean, that's it.
I'll let the writer for the MLB app know that. and you went and you're from the same hometown as Nolan Ryan. You met him, obviously, probably.
Yeah, I've met him one time. You know, like going through high school, I always missed him. He had started his tenure with the Rangers and stuff like that. I met him when I was with the Yankees, I believe, in 2015. After a start I had against him, you know, and the next day he came out there and he was on the field, and I got the opportunity to talk to him and, you know, kind of thank him for everything that he's done for me along the way.
So there's just no street cred? You get street cred for, like, having the same hometown as Nolan Ryan now?
Nah, I mean, I get it a lot, but, you know, those are some mighty big shoes to fill.
All right. Anything you want to ask? I always end. Anything you want to ask about the Boston media? About so my thing, okay, so New York versus Boston media. You've been here for, like, 2 days, right? Everyone likes to compare it. Brief glimpse so far. How would you compare?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're all kind of the same. Yeah. I mean, a lot of questions, but I mean, I feel like they're all pretty much the same.
Any questions about what to do, where to go, anything about the Boston media at all?
Nothing.
I got nothing.
All right. Well, I want to at least present the opportunity to you. All right, Nathan. What's your middle name?
Edward.
Nathan Edward Ovaldi. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.